It was our second date. On this Saturday morning, the New York sun was kind enough to afford us the perfect weather for our tennis date. The crisp breeze, her flowing polo shirt, the New York skyline. It was a scene straight out of Sex and the City. She played for her university team. I barely played, but had enough skills left over from high school to play to make it interesting. The first date went okay, but there was no guarantee of a second. So asking her on a tennis date was more me saying, even if you don't like me that much, you can justify it by seeing it as practice. And so she agreed. The games began. After her second serve zoomed right past me, I thought, this may not have been such a good idea. But when she laughed at me and told me to step up my game, that let me know she was at least having fun, even if it was at my expense. So I relaxed, began to hit the ball back at a decent enough pace to make her sweat. Prior to this date, I didn't watch tennis regularly, only the four Grand Slams. But after our tennis match helped me make progress, I began watching as a matter of habit. This was 1999. The current number one tennis player in the world, Naomi Osaka, was 2 years old. This podcast is about the untold success journey of Naomi Osaka. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show. I'm your host, Timothy Maurice, and I'm super excited about this show. Because besides being a huge fan of tennis, we can all learn from Osaka's journey. Before you swipe out of this, stay locked because you need not be a tennis fan to appreciate the following story. Whether you're a manager, leader, or anyone attempting to grow your influence, this story is for you. A huge thanks to everyone who continues to smile when the notification comes that the Brain and Brand Show has a new episode to download. For the devoted podcast listener, you'll appreciate what I'm saying. When you have a favorite podcast and you're somewhere in the middle of your day, you receive an alert that a show has a new episode. It's like receiving a gift. And if you're new to this whole podcast world, thank you as well. I'm drawn to stories of anyone who succeeds in an environment where there are few people who look like them. Whether you're short, succeeding in a tall man's world, a woman succeeding in a male-dominated environment, or you're Naomi Osaka, the subject of today, a half-Japanese and half-Haitian woman who is the number one tennis player in the world. There's no other people who looks like her. No other half-Haitian, half-Japanese people on tour. Today's podcast is not about race, though. It's about the power of following a blueprint that's already been laid out to achieve success. Osaka, whose name carries the identity of the Japanese city she was born in, burst into the global consciousness when she beat Serena Williams at the 2018 U.S. Open. Had Serena not emotionally imploded after feeling she was wronged during a key point, I may not have delved into this story. But immediately after Serena fell apart, a moment which Serena has acknowledged she handled poorly, I began to follow Naomi's career very closely. There was something about how she handled the moment that let me know she knew more than what she was letting on to. But it was only after she won her second major, just after this year's 2019 Australian Open, that I discover why her 2018 win over Serena was such a crushing event for her. It wasn't just that Serena's emotional collapse overshadowed her win and that she knew how much it meant to Serena. It's that her father, I call him a Haitian genius, by the name of Leonard Francois, took the blueprint of Serena's father, Richard Williams, to make Naomi a tennis star. Brooke Larmer of the New York Times wrote, Francois became transfixed by a broadcast of the French Open featuring the American prodigies Venus and Serena Williams, then 18 and 17, who teamed up to win the doubles title that year. Francois himself played very little tennis, but Richard Williams, the sister's father and coach, had played none at all, and Williams had created a plan to turn his daughters into champions, teaching them how to serve big and hit hard in every corner of the court. The blueprint was already there, Francois told Lamar. I just had to follow it. That's right, when Naomi and her sister were small children, Lennart saw what Richard Williams was doing with Serena and Venus and began to study Richard's blueprint. Williams would train Venus and Serena walking around with a sign that read, "Number One Girls in the World." In 1998, when Naomi was 3 years old, just after they had moved from Japan to the United States, Lennart came across the actual 70-page blueprint that Richard wrote. But wait, get this. He wrote this blueprint before they were even born. The blueprint detailed the rigorous program he would eventually take them through, which would lead them to become global superstars. According to the U.S. Open's official website, Francois taught his daughters to play tennis on outdoor clay courts because Richard Williams had done that with his daughters. In a press conference, Naomi Osaka cited how similar her tennis upbringing was to that of Serena Williams. She said, "For me, one of the main things was that when I was practicing with my dad, if my sister wasn't there, I don't think I would have made it. I think maybe Serena and I both have this really big sister connection." That's right. Naomi has her very own Venus, and her name is Mari Osaka. Mari hasn't been as successful as Naomi, but she is playing, and at 22 years old, you never know. Both the Osaka sisters were born in Japan and moved to Fort Lauderdale when Mari was 4 years old and Naomi was 3. Although they both spent the majority of their upbringing in America, they both represent the country of Japan rather than the U.S., a decision made by Lennart for what he calls practical purposes. Essentially, if you really unpack it, what he's saying is the U.S. didn't want to support the girls financially, and Japan showed more interest. Mari and Naomi took their mother's maiden name to make it easier to navigate Japanese life when they were small. The mother, Tamaki Osaka, met Lennart when he was visiting Japan while studying at college in New York. Although Naomi, the clear star of the family, can understand Japanese, she doesn't speak it so well, which is why when Japanese reporters speak to her in Japanese, she responds in English. She left Japan when she was 3 years old, and her entire formative years were between New York and Florida, but she reports to have really connected with both her Haitian and Japanese backgrounds. The decision for her father to pursue her Japanese side of the family as her identifying culture was a stroke of genius. In America, she is seen as primarily black. Every mixed person with a drop of black blood in America is seen as black. In fact, when asked which music she was listening to in her headphones when coming out at the Australian Open, she says J-Rock, which is basically black American hip-hop. But by identifying and associating with Japan, she's able to separate herself from Serena and remove herself from that shadow. And she also reaps the brand ambassador opportunities in Japan as well. She's a brand ambassador for Nissan, Citizen Watch, Noodle Maker, Nissan Foods, Shishido, and sponsored by Japanese airline Al Nippon Airways. Clearly, all Japanese brands. She wouldn't have these opportunities. And these brand ambassadorships would likely have gone to Serena and Venus. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how sure can you be? One thing I can be sure of is she did not identify with Japan. She wouldn't get these brand associations. Lennart Francois may not make both his daughters stars like Venus and Serena, but following the blueprint and then making critical decisions to connect with Japan over the U.S., he's built on an old blueprint and created a new one. What's your blueprint? You may not move countries, but I hope this story inspires you to consider how you may map key decisions and how it can completely transform your identity, personal brand, and ultimately, your life. Thanks for listening to this special bonus episode. Make sure your notifications are set on whichever podcast platform you're listening to so you can receive the alert of our new upcoming series, Making the Leap. Stories of ordinary people who decided to leave their employment comfort zone and become entrepreneurs. See you soon. Oh, and by the way, in case you were wondering, I was friend-zoned by my tennis date. I guess I wasn't serving what she needed. CliffCentral.com